the conversations on Pro Advocate Radio or for informational purposes only, not to be considered legal advice. The comments and opinions on Pro Advocate Radio are those of the guest and the host alone. They are not the thoughts or opinions of the ownership or management of Business Radio X, nor should they be seen as an endorsement by either ownership or management.
Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Pro Advocate Radio, brought to you by My Advocate Center.
Good morning, everyone. This is Deb Beecham, the founder and director of My Advocate Center and host of Pro Advocate Radio. My co-host, James O'Brien, is not with us today. We have him out in the field working on our next story. So I appreciate you all tuning in to Pro Advocate Radio. This is an exciting time for us to be able to have parents, professionals, grandparents, advocates, law enforcement, and just a host of great people coming together to talk about some tough issues that you normally don't hear about on the air. But what sets us apart from all the platforms talking about the challenges that so many families are facing, not only here in Georgia, but around the country and around the globe, what sets us apart is that we have a team of professionals, a team of investigators working on these, working on cases, working on past, present, and future situations that if we don't talk about them, we're going to see more fallout for families and children. We're going to see less stability, worsened health, and really people just having a big chunk of their normal lives taken away from them. So it's a tough, tough subject to talk about. But because we have the right professionals who stand up for their clients, who stand up for children, who advocate the way we all believe our advocates are going to fight for us, especially in these court cases that we sometimes call high conflict. So with us today is Wendy Hayes. Wendy Hayes has been with us before. She's a financial expert. I'll let her explain her background. But the focus of this show today is on the financial protections needed in the context of family court cases. So Wendy, why don't you introduce yourself and your background?
Hello. Thank you for having me here today. It's nice to be back. I am an accountant. I was a CFO for a manufacturing company for a number of years, decided to leave to take care of some family matters, actually, and decided that I wanted to do something completely different, and became a certified divorce financial analyst. What I primarily do is help people who are going through major life transitions. Most of my clients are going through a divorce. I also help people that are transitioning into senior living scenarios and things of that nature. Most of my clients, again, are going through a divorce. Every case has unique aspects to it. They're all a little bit different. One of the resounding themes that I hear from my clients is that they feel lost in the legal situation. They may feel confident with their attorney's capabilities as far as the law is concerned, but they don't understand the financial situation. Some of them are far more complicated than others, and some are there's some fraud that goes into what happens around the finances. It is my role to just dig in and peel all the onion layers back and get to the bottom of what their financial situation is. The other thing that I find predominantly is that people either fight over children and or money. And if you can take the finance piece and help people to understand that, not only do I help them understand what will happen during the divorce, but also where they will be 20 years into the future, it takes a lot of the ambiguity away so that they can focus on each other and their children.
Yeah, so you create more certainty in these situations if they understand what the financial implications are. Ideally, we would see fewer people using children as financial leverage.
That's correct.
Right. We see that on a lot of cases. So really good financial professionals are critical early on. And that's why, you know, you're seeing you and a number of other professionals that we know to do good work are seeing cases from us where they're able to shortcut that process and really for a lot less money.
That's right. Because again, a lot of what they're arguing about is financially motivated. So if you can, there are only so many ways that you can cut up the pie, right? So
right.
if you can help them to understand what that is and help them to understand the best way that you can do that for them, then all they have to do is take that financial plan to their attorney and say, this is what we want.
Right. And then whatever disagreements they have around children can be dealt with the right experts and without money playing a deciding factor. And usually there's child support guidelines that govern child support. And there's the basic needs of the children that sometimes might not align with child support. And then there's what parents can do, what they're capable of doing. So sometimes you just have to insert common sense around the guidelines. And but if you can take away the confusion and the fear factor with the finances, because we do see a number of parties hiding assets,
right,
misrepresenting in their financial affidavits in the DRFA. And what can you say for our audience what a DRFA is? Domestic Relations Financial
Affidavit.
You'll hear people say DRFA instead of financial affidavit. So
right.
that Domestic Relations Financial Affidavit. So you'll see things misrepresented, or you'll see assets and income held back until a parent says, oh, I'll let you have custody if you back off of this financial affidavit. So that's another issue I think we'll get into when we have more of our attorneys coming back around with us. But just I'm making a note here while you're here in front of me that we're going to get into that. So what are some of the issues that you've seen come up that you think would be good for our audience to hear about today?
The financial affidavit is actually a great place to start. One of the things that I do is help people to prepare those. So I am working on a case right now where the husband claims that he has no income, but there's an awful lot of money that's been deposited into his accounts. So what I am working with the attorney on right now is to go back and get copies of all of the deposits so that we will know where that income is coming from. So I'm quite curious to find out what his source is there.
And that's invaluable work, and hearing great things about your work, and that's making it easier for the attorney to see that unfolding.
Correct.
So what about on the tax side?
The tax side can be exceedingly interesting also. I always go back through at least 3 years of tax returns. It's usually pretty straightforward if the couple or both, or one or both of them, are employed by a third party. It gets more interesting when they're self-employed. But I go through the tax returns with a fine-tooth comb, trying to look for anything that was underreported or not reported. You can also go back to the IRS and make sure that you have all of the documents, say all of the 1099s or K-1 forms that were filed using their Social Security number.
Right. So someone should really not be able to hide their income.
Correct.
Because and that's a discovery issue for the attorneys working with you, is you can say, here's what we're missing. And if you have to go to the court to seek discovery and have discovery rules enforced, that's a good, you know, that's a normal tool that you and the attorneys would talk about having discovery done properly. And, you know, frankly, I see discovery not being done properly a lot. So when I see professionals like you and these other attorneys that we're talking about, when we see that being done properly, it's exciting, because then we can point to those cases and say, you know, hey, moms and dads, this is what this looks like when it's done properly. And see, here's the result on the case where the pie is being divided up properly. The children are getting what they need. And it just, then everybody can move on with their lives peacefully because it was all handled properly during the litigation. So talking about the tax issues for a minute, because I know we've had some cases where there's been some motive to not let evidence on the record because of tax issues.
Correct. So one of the things that I am working with one client with right now is we feel like we have very strong evidence to indicate that the husband has not been honest on his tax returns. So we are working to get her what is referred to as innocent spouse protection, which basically would mean that if the IRS tries to come after them for unpaid taxes or a shortfall in their taxes, that they will go after him and not for,
right.
not her.
And then actually that same situation is playing out in multiple other cases where in other cases it's the wife who has an inheritance or has a business and they have circumvented IRS rules, you know, all kinds of business reporting rules. And, you know, so it gets a little hairy in here sometimes, but seeing how the professionals are working together as a team to resolve those and just taking it a step at a time, where it's dissolving the uncertainty and the confusion. That's when I talk about professionals adding value for their clients. That's what I'm talking about, is when everything's transparent and methodically being worked through.
Correct.
Where there's, you don't have to wonder what's being hidden from you. So, you know, we've been talking about some cases where there's some clear, you know, questionable financial practices going on, you know, whether it's around a professional handling, a billing, like we've had billing record discussions, court reporter issues with overbilling on transcripts like we saw the prosecution in Cherokee. And that involved not only billing misconduct, but also issues around transcripts not being complete. So when we started talking about this other case that's been, you know, circulating, you know, on the web, and we see news media looking into these cases, and this one in particular, because in this case, the children are missing, and it looks like they were the, I guess, part of the, call them pawns, in the financial game around this case. And we started looking into IRS reporting and ways that people, you know, sometimes it's a litigant, sometimes it's the professionals, where we see some questionable practices. And we look at what's the financial motive for going, for operating that way. So when you're looking at a case where there's something's not right, and, you know, it might be a party doesn't want to pay all the income, whether it's child support or alimony, and you see that they're withholding records, what do you do?
It depends very much on the case. I'm working on one right now where the husband set up a lot of different limited liability companies, call it a half a dozen different companies, which each manage different assets. And then in addition to that, or coupled with that, he also set up a different bank account for each of these separate limited liability companies, which from an accounting perspective is the absolute correct way to do that. The problem is that he would deposit money from any of these different LLCs into whichever bank account he felt like that day. And he would also write checks for all of the LLCs out of one bank account. And so he was using them all interchangeably.
So trying to get a divorce settlement done based on that must be a little complicated. So this makes a case for why you need the right accountant in your
right.
in your business, in your daily life, you know, stepping away from litigation. You know, that sounds like somebody who really needed the right guidance early on and throughout. So, you know, it looks like we're going to need to do another segment just on proper management of accounting records and really understanding what your spouse is up to.
Right.
Because if everybody's being transparent and honest with each other, we could probably avoid some of the damages that we're seeing coming out of these cases. And I bet I actually would put money on it that some professionals would love it if parents would manage their affairs better.
Absolutely.
So lawyers can
much easier.
Yeah, lawyers can focus on the legal part, and the psychological professionals can focus on their part and let you, you know, because I know you work very efficiently, and that's one of the reasons we like sending cases to you, is it's not a complicated process to work with you. So we appreciate what you do and how you work, and that you're here today and willing to talk about some of the messier situations we see. But the nice part, what I want the audience to understand, is that even if you have what we call monkey business going on your case, people withholding tax documents, withholding information around assets, that there is a place to go to find the right professionals. And that's why we set up My Advocate Center, so that our resource directory could be made available to the public, and so that you could learn really what kind of professional you need for your situation. So thank you, Wendy, for being here. And we'll do a little follow-up on this.
Sounds
these topics.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This show is brought to you by My Advocate Center, the voice for families and family law advocates. Learn more at myadvocatecenter.com.